Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. The framework for peace agreed upon at Camp David involving Middle East countries had to succeed, according to James Reston of the New York Times, because it had its beginning in prayer. Mrs. Rosalind Carter had suggested the meeting convene in prayer that ended harmoniously with the President of the United States declaring the prayers of the world have been answered, far beyond any expectations. Reflecting back on the atmosphere at Camp David, it was one of conciliation and concession, which ended with the Mideast leaders Sadat and Begin embracing, referring to each other as friends. Only as the love of God is generated in the hearts of men will there ever be true peace among nations. That there is a still deeper love than even brotherly love is reflected in the Scriptures. We'll comment on that in just a moment. One religious leader had this to say about our attitude toward the present negotiations toward peace, now underway.
I hope that here in America and in the rest of the world, that we shall all continue to be optimistic, that we shall be prayerful for these people, that we shall lend encouragement, and we shall recognize the fact that it takes a great deal of patience, and it's going to take a lot of time for a peaceful and fair solution to be found to their differences.
Well, could this seeking after divine guidance be an omen of what we might see in the future? Are there religious overtones to the settlement of the Middle East problems? Those of us who read the Bible, believe it to be the Word of God, know that problems cannot be solved nor peace achieved except through the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. He came once to die on the cross for man's sins, so that whosoever believeth in him can have this peace. As we read in Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then to realize our Lord is coming back again. When he returns, he'll not be the lowly Nazarene. He will not appear as the meek Galilean or the humble servant of Jehovah. He will indeed be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. World rulers who reach their zenith in power and glory will all be puppets in comparison to him who comes as Prince of Peace. But just before our Lord appears, there will come one, an impostor, who will suddenly arise on the world scene, who offers a scepter of love, who extends the handshake of freedom, who holds out an olive branch to all nations. With our world so desperately in need of peace, its leaders will grab at almost anything that has a sweet flavor or aroma of peaceful coexistence. Well, President Carter is an admirer of the liberal theologian Reinhold Niebuhr, who espoused a belief in the goodness of faith and of love and forgiveness, which in themselves are noble virtues. But anyone who believes the Bible knows these traits cannot be achieved in man apart from Jesus Christ. Man who is born a sinner cannot know forgiveness apart from the grace of God manifested through Christ's death on the cross for our sins. When Niebuhr writes in his The Irony of American History, nothing which is true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we must be saved by faith. Nothing we do, he notes, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we are saved by love. Then he concludes by saying we must be saved by the final form of love, which is forgiveness. We would not for one moment disagree with this analysis. Who does not admit we need faith and love and forgiveness? But where we would tend to question is how we come to the realization of these virtues. For instance, there are several words for love in the Greek, the language used in our Lord's day. The world speaks of love often from a point of view that is sexual, that might better be called lust than love. But then there is the word phileo, which, as Dr. Wiest, Greek expositor, comments, is the response of the human spirit to what appeals to, is as pleasurable. The Greeks made much of friendship. So the word phileo spoke of friendly affection. The word Philadelphia comes from two Greek words, phileo and adelphos, meaning brotherly love. However, there's another word for love which calls attention to the love of God revealed in our salvation. In John 3:16, where we read, God so loved the world, the word is agapao, reflecting on the divine love that we come to know as we receive Christ as Savior and Lord. We love him because of this divine love implanted in our hearts. When Jesus used this word to Peter, he said, "Do you have this deep divine love in your heart for me?" And Peter could only reply using the word phileo, meaning, "I'm fond of you." "Yes, Lord, I love you as a brother." Jesus asks again, "Do you have a divine love, a love in your heart for me?" And Peter again replies, "Lord, I'm fond of you." Then Jesus, searching the heart of Peter, taking his word for love, asks, "Peter, are you fond of me?" And Peter replies, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee, that I'm fond of thee." Well, my friend, not until Pentecost did Peter know of this divine love. And only as we have this divine love can we have peace and joy and true forgiveness. As we read in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. You see, without knowing the Lord as our Savior, we can't know this love. For the Bible tells us the world cannot receive of the Holy Spirit. Not until we receive Christ can we partake of this divine love through the Holy Spirit. But we have good news. God loves you with supernatural and perfect love. We read in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now the word for love used here is agapao, the highest love possible. It's a love for a sinful, fallen race, wherein God places the highest value upon the human soul. When the Bible tells us God loves you, it really means it. God's love knows no limits. His love encompasses the world. God's love is eternal. We read how nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then in view of the coming of the Lord, we need this love which will help us to overcome, to overlook another's faults. Can you overlook my faults? Can you forgive my imperfections? Can you overlook the sins of others? Listen to what Peter writes. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Above all things have fervent charity, fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins." Ah, did you hear it? Why is it we get so easily upset with one another? Husbands and wives divorcing over the most insignificant thing, the least little provocation. We need to know this love. We need to manifest this love one for another. We can't produce this kind of love of ourselves. It's the love of God produced by the Holy Spirit. When God shows us how his love overlooks, how his love forgives all our sins, then we should have the same forgiving attitude that will overlook the wrongs, the faults, the failures, the sins of others. I know these are heart-searching questions, but do you have this love in your heart? Do you have a love that overlooks wrong in the sense that you're not going to gossip about that person or hate that person? Rather, should you not find a response in your heart that goes out for that one, a love so pure, so perfect, that regardless of how you're treated or mistreated, you will continue to love? Can't you see how marriages would last? Neighbors would remain friendly, churches would not suffer from divisions if this kind of love were manifest. In fact, could it be that a lack of this love shows forth a lack of the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives? Ah, hear me, Jude warns in the last days there would be a lack of this love. If we're critical of other believers because of a difference of interpretation of some passage of Scripture, we'll say, something totally irrelevant to our salvation. We may be lacking this love. May God give us this love, especially in view of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul writes, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Hallelujah. Indeed, be ye therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Will ye be ready?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.